Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to the 50,000-watt AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America, and this is Bob Enyart Live. I am going to go through the list of questions we asked on the air last night and present quick answers to them, and you could rate yourself, see how you're doing, grade yourself. How well do you know the answers to these questions based on what God's Word says, based on what the Bible says? And we are in the midst of our February telethon to keep Bob Enyart Live on the radio as a broadcast outreach. And so far, to give you the tallies, our goal is to raise $10,000 in one-time gifts, and then $500 in monthly pledges. And so far, and normally the pledges are more difficult to raise because they're ongoing. And so far, well, we're approaching 5% of the $10,000 goal, and we've hit 40%, we're so thrilled, of the monthly pledges. And we're only a few days into the telethon, so our goal of $500 in monthly pledges, we're up to $200. And thank you so much to our dear friends out there in Radioland. And the $10,000, we're at $325. Not thousand, not $325,000, $325. But not bad. We're thankful, and we're on our way. We've just started. And if you could help, please call us at 800 8-N-Yart. That's 1-800-836-9278, 836-9278, or you can give online at our website at kgov.com. All right, now let's get to this list of questions. We've gone over the 5 points that make Denver Bible Church unique, that most differentiate Bob Enyart Live from your typical Christian ministries. So those 5 points, we've been joking around here, it's Denver's new 5 points. Denver's new 5 points. And we'll do those again perhaps later next week. But right now, I want to get to this list of questions. And I'll reread the list of questions, and then we'll go through the answers. But when we don't know the correct answers to these questions, what does that say about us as Christians? How does that affect our Christian life, our relationship with God, our witness to other people? Here are the questions. Should Christians support the death penalty? Grade yourself. How confident are you that you know the answers to these questions based on what the Bible says? Are we supposed to automatically forgive everyone who wrongs us? Are all sins equal? Is there time in heaven? Is the earth billions of years old? Is it wrong to call anyone a fool? Does God have a plan for you that would manage all the details of your life? Does the Bible say to hate the sin and love the sinner? How should we use the Ten Commandments today as Christians? Should pornography be legal? Should we rebuke religious and government leaders? Should we as Christians judge, or should we just not judge? Should we support equal rights for homosexuals? Is evolution true? Did we evolve from animals? Should we as Christians, should we keep the Old Testament laws? Should we keep all of them, some of them, or none of them? Should the government legislate and enforce God's law? All of it, some of it, none of it? Does God change in any way? We could add a lot of questions to this list, but these are samples of the kind of principles at Bob Enyart Live that we highlight in the Bible that enable us to answer these questions. So when we don't know the correct answers to these questions, what does it matter? Well, as Christians, we become less effective, and we undermine the gospel. We become somewhat irrelevant if we don't have confidence in our ability to answer such questions. Because the neat thing in the Bible, when people were God's spokesmen, they would say, boy, these people, they're uneducated, but you know what? They've been with Jesus. They speak with authority. They know what they're talking about when it comes to matters of right and wrong. And that's what we as Christians should be. We should be the authority to the world as to what does God say in the Bible about the important matters of our day. We become somewhat irrelevant when we don't know what the Bible teaches on so many important matters. And while Christ himself, he's a stumbling block to unbelievers, right? People look at Jesus Christ and they get offended. In fact, his name is the Rock of Offense. That's one of his names. And he offended many people. The New Testament says that he offended people because the truth is unavoidably offensive when you're speaking to sinners. And it's not that Christians want to be offensive. It's just an occupational hazard. It's unavoidable. The truth is unavoidably offensive. So Christ himself is an offense to unbelievers, and to put their trust in him, they have to overcome that stumbling block. He is the stumbling block. And that's appropriate because he is the stumbling block. But you know what? Sometimes we Christians, we become stumbling blocks in a very terrible way. We sin and we're hypocrites, and unbelievers look at us and say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. So then we've become a stumbling block and a tragic one at that. Or when we don't know answers to the basic questions of our day, we don't know what God in the Bible says about these things. And so then we become stumbling blocks out of ignorance or irrelevancy. And maybe Muslims speak with greater authority and they're more accurate about morality than a lot of Christians. And so because of our lack of studying the Bible, the Apostle Paul wrote that we should be diligent, or study to show ourselves approved, workmen who need not be ashamed. And so we have to study the Bible so we can answer these questions so that we're not irrelevant, so that it is the Christians who demonstrate the authority and the knowledge between what is right and what is wrong, and so that we do not become unnecessary stumbling blocks. We need to be confident in what the Bible teaches. And that's what Bob and Yurt Live is all about. I ask God, Lord, help me to know your word so that I could represent you accurately to people out there in the audience and to our members at Denver Bible Church, because we want to be part of God's solution rather than part of the world's problem. So should Christians support the death penalty? First question. The death penalty is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul volunteered support for the death penalty when he himself was on trial and he could have been executed in Acts 25:11. And he said, if I've done anything worthy of execution, I do not object to dying, but I'm not guilty. And being crucified next to Jesus Christ, the criminal who repented, he affirmed, he said, we are being punished justly. This execution that we're being put to death is just. It's a just punishment. But Jesus Christ, this man here, he has done nothing wrong. And God was not compelled to put those words in the Bible, but he did, because the death penalty is a just punishment because God mandated it. And in Romans chapter 13, it says that the government should obey God. They should be God's ministers. And toward the criminal, the government should bring vengeance, wrath, and terror and execute the criminal with the sword. That's the book of Romans, the New Testament. And on, there's so much New Testament support for capital punishment that we have a video called New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. It's 2 hours long. It's one of our best-selling DVDs or VHS. We have it in both formats. By the way, if you're interested in some of these Bible study materials we have, if you order a video, say, hey, and I'd like to make a donation for the telethon to help keep Bob and Yurt live on the most powerful Christian radio station in America. And the phone number to call to order, let's say, a death penalty DVD is 800-836-9278. That's 800, toll free, 836-9278. Or go online to our store at our website at kgov.com. Okay. So, yes, Christians should support the death penalty. The death penalty is at the heart of the gospel because God the Father required the death penalty from his own son in order to save us. And when Christians get seduced by liberals into thinking there's something wrong with the death penalty, they unwittingly undermine the gospel and they make it sound like there must have been something wrong with God the Father to demand the death penalty if there's something wrong with the death penalty. Okay. Are we supposed to automatically forgive everyone? Are we, as Christians? And the answer is no. You go through the Bible, God does not automatically forgive everyone. Are we nicer than God? Are we more righteous or more noble than God, more merciful than God? No. We can only forgive those who wrong us. So if somebody murders your neighbor, you and the judge and the jury, nobody has standing to forgive the murderer. And Jesus said in Luke 17:3, if someone sins against you, forgive him. No, he didn't say that. He said, if someone sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. For if you forgive everyone automatically, you know what you do as a Christian? You send out a dangerous message to unbelievers. And it's the number one message that liberals think about God in America. They think, well, if there is a God, he's a God of love, and he forgives everyone, and he's not going to send people to hell. There's not going to be any judgment day because he's all forgiving. Now, where did they get that? Where did liberals get this notion? Go to any college campus, and that's the number one belief sending college kids to hell, that God is a God of love. He's all love and all forgiving. And so they believe they do not have to repent. They don't have to put their trust in Jesus Christ. They're not looking at hell, fire, eternally. They're not looking at separation from God because God is all forgiving. Where do they get that notion from? They get it from virtually every Christian radio and TV station in the world because we misrepresent forgiveness by telling people you have to forgive automatically. Someone sins against you, wrongs you, you have to forgive them. Well, where does that leave repentance? That means repentance is unnecessary. It's superfluous. It's irrelevant. And that is a deadly message because Christians are spokesmen. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we are the only Christ that unbelievers will see. We're the only Bible that they will ever read. And so when the Christian community speaks with one voice that everyone needs to be automatically forgiven, you know, the unbelievers, they reject most of what we say, but whenever we make an error, they latch on to that. They latch on to our errors, and they got them permanently fixed in their minds. And so they believe that God will forgive everyone, and you do not have to repent, and that is false. You should forgive those who repent. And that will help you to be a whole Christian, healthy. You won't be unbalanced because when a pastor tells a woman whose husband's having an affair, you need to forgive him while he's having the affair. He's not repentant. What does it mean to forgive him? If I tell him I forgive him and he mocks me and he thinks I'm a fool. And you know what, Pastor? I sort of feel like a fool saying that because he's still committing the sin. And you go through the Bible, and the prophets did not forgive all their enemies and those who wronged them. And the apostles did not forgive all those who wronged them. And Jesus Christ did not forgive all those who wronged them. And God in heaven, Christ was God on earth, God in heaven does not forgive those who do not repent. So let's stop as Christians giving out a false impression, and a damnable one at that, to unbelievers. Are all sins equal? The Bible never says all sins are equal. Does it say it? 3 John chapter 1. What other chapter would there be? Verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, all sins are equal. No, the Bible doesn't say that. But you know, you could travel around the world as we have, and you'll see from New Zealand through Europe to Israel, you meet Christians and they believe all these cliches. And they believe that all sins are equal. God never says that. Jesus Christ said, who has the greater sin? Was it Pilate, who was a Roman governor, or was it the Jewish high priest? The Jewish high priest, Caiaphas, had the greater sin than Pilate because he was the high priest, the representative of God on earth, and he wanted Jesus Christ crucified. So Jesus said, the one who sent me to you has the greater sin. Yet you could read that in a dozen other Bible verses where God clearly indicates that not all sins are equal. And Christians will fight tooth and nail to say all sins are equal. You say, why do you say that? Why do you believe that? That makes us look irrelevant. What? This family in the news today who tortured these kids, used pliers to pull out their toenails, hit them with hammers, didn't feed them for months. And the kid is less than 40 pounds. And this family, that's the same as stealing a Tic Tac. As I've heard on this very Christian radio station, I've heard that murder is the same as stealing a Tic Tac by one show, one particular show. One day I tuned in a few years ago. No, murder is not the same as stealing. And Jesus said that some people will be punished with many stripes and others with few. For to whom much is given, much is required. And the more that you know and you turn your back on God, the greater the punishment. That's why there is a judgment day. What's the purpose of a judgment day if everyone receives the same judgment? And God gave us punishments for criminals, and he didn't say everybody gets the same punishment. Somebody who steals $25 gets way less punishment than someone who commits a serious assault, and they get way less punishment than someone who rapes or murders or kidnaps. God is not some comic cartoon character in the sky. He's not an absurd irrelevancy saying all sins are equal. No. All sins are not equal, and that is inane. In Christians, it's like we throw out our minds, we basically ignore the Bible, and we accept the Christian cliches with complete allegiance. Unquestioningly, we accept these cliches. And Bob Inyart Live is here to cause a little bit of trouble, to make Christians feel a little bit uncomfortable, and say we owe it to God, we owe it to one another, to get more serious about studying his word. And that's why we got a call from Texas the other day. Canton, Texas? Can I say what governing official? I guess I shouldn't. One of the leading governing officials in that city is halfway through reading the plot. And he's so excited because now he can understand the Bible, and that's our manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible. The plot, 330 pages. You can get it from us at kgov.com or at 800-836-9278. And if you're not a person who likes to read, because that's a lot of reading, right? 330 pages. Unpublished, best-selling manuscript. If you don't like to read, we have it on MP3 CD. We have it on audio tapes. And so you can call us or go to kgov.com and order that. By the way, if you do that, if you get the death penalty video, and that will help you improve your witnessing skills and find more opportunities to witness to people, because so many news stories fit right in with the gospel. Or if you call up, to get the death penalty video, or you want a copy of the plot manuscript, or you want to listen to it on your computer on MP3 CD, or you have an MP3 player, or you just want to pop it into your DVD. You know, every DVD plays MP3 CDs. So you think, I want to listen to that plot, get an overview of the Bible, the plot of the Bible. If you call for that or the death penalty video, then you could say, hey, and I'd also like to make a pledge toward the February telethon to help Bob and Your Live stay on the most powerful Christian radio station in America, 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT. And you know, KLT, when I say it's the most powerful, it's not only the most powerful Christian radio station in America, in Colorado, it's flat out the most powerful station. And people think, well, how about KOA? They're 50,000 watts. Yeah, but they're higher on the dial. The lower on the dial, the further the signal goes, the more powerful. So 50,000 watts lower on the dial is way more powerful than 50,000 up higher. So what's WABC in New York City? What is that, 70, 77? 77 WABC? Right, that's the station Rush Limbaugh's on, Sean Hannity, those guys. That's 50,000 watts. They're more powerful than KOA at 850, because for public school teachers tuning in, 770 is less than 850. But we're on 670. That's powerful. This program, Bob and Your Live, can be heard throughout most of Colorado. You know, some places there's deep canyon. Most of the mountains you could hear Bob and Your Live on KLTT. But there's some places you can't quite get it in well. But we cover most of Colorado and into seven neighboring states. A couple days ago, we had a call from Learned, Kansas. We had a big pledge at a telethon a year ago from Kansas, a big gift that helped us survive that month in a big way. And it's so neat to be able to reach out to people, and we need your help. Okay, so are all sins equal? No. Is there time in heaven? Of course there's time in heaven. We're going to continue to be human beings. We're going to interact with one another. We're going to have relationships. We're going to speak to God. We're going to sing songs to him. We're going to praise him and say, holy, 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 one holy after another. The Bible says there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. And the seven seals, one followed another. And the seven trumpets, the first was before the second. And the seven bowls, not to mention the thunders. Of course there's time in heaven. There are sequential feelings, thoughts, emotions, actions, discussions. We are going to work in heaven. We are going to do the things God created Adam and Eve to do. Of course, there will be time in heaven. People say, oh, but wait a minute. There won't be the sun in 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark. What does that have to do with time? People get so confused so easily. And so the way we describe heaven, you got young people thinking, I don't really think I want to go to heaven. I'd rather go to hell with all my friends and have a party than float on some cloud with some harp, not even to play one note, because there's no time in heaven. I mean, we present God as though he's this metaphysical misfit. And heaven as though it's some bizarre existence. Heaven is going to be way more familiar than we think. Hey, I agree. It'll also be way more different than we could imagine, but it's going to be way more familiar than we think. And then we're often instructed. For example, the book of Revelation shows we have our five senses in heaven, right? Sight, taste, touch, feeling, let's see, smell, and hearing. We have our five senses in heaven. Okay. Is there time in heaven? Yes. Is the earth billions of years old? No. God created the earth in the recent past. And there is overwhelming scientific evidence that the earth is young. The scientific evidence really refutes the theories of billions of years. And the Bible record stands as the earth in human history. Human history is only a few thousand years old, and that's it. There are huge empires and cities back 3,000-4,000 years old? What happened to all the empires 18,000 years ago and 30,000 years ago? They weren't there. They don't exist. There is no historical record because mankind appeared on the earth, which had been newly created just 6,000 years ago. Is it wrong to call anyone a fool? It's wrong to call someone a fool if they're not. The Bible calls people fools. Jesus called people fools. King David called people fools. The Apostle Paul called people fools. The Bible says the fool says there is no God. An atheist is a fool. You know what? If someone is a fool, and because you're caught up in some Christian cliche, and you haven't bothered to think carefully about what Jesus Christ was saying in the Sermon on the Mount, you become ineffective. You become irrelevant. If I'm a fool, I want to know it. I want people who care about me to say, you know what, Bob? You're stupid. You're a fool. One of my mother's favorite Bible verses is from Proverbs. It says, if you're stupid, you don't accept correction. It says that. If you're stupid, somebody who doesn't accept correction is stupid. You're a fool. People say, oh, don't name call. Well, then let's throw out about 5% of the Bible. Because Jesus Christ said, you hypocrites, you liars, you thieves. And that's the gentle stuff. There's stuff in the Bible that's so harsh, I hesitate to say it on the air. But we Christians, we become irrelevant. And somebody says, oh, you're a name caller. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Jesus offended people. And they said, do you know that you offended people? And he said, oh, I'm so sorry. Maybe they misunderstood me. We have to put masculinity back into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians have been emasculated. We've been feminized. We're like a bunch of girly men. And that needs to change. So if you can help Bob and Your Life stay on the air and do what we can to influence the Christian community to no longer be ashamed of the gospel, then we could use your help. You could call us at 800-836-9278. This is our February telethon, and if we reach our goals, we could end before the end of the month. Wouldn't that be great? I don't like asking for donations on the air. It's very awkward for me, and so I really could use your help so we could end this. But our phone number is 800-836-9278, or the website is kgov.com. And if you make a donation online or by phone or in the mail, please tell us it's for the telethon, so we'll apply it to the right place. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a neat school. 431-5653. That's 431-5653.